As we've been going through our the book of Galatians, is dealing with how there was people that came into this church and was trying to teach them and tell them to get back under the law. And Paul was dealing with this and trying to explain to them what the gospel is. And what we'll see this week is in Galatians 3, starting at verse 19, he's talking about the true intent of the law. So if you're taking notes or whatever that's there, he's going to show us from the scripture the true intent of the law. So I'm going to start reading at verse 19 to 20, have a word of prayer, and then get into our message today. The Bible says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator one, but God is one." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity that you have given me to preach, and Lord, I surely need your help. I pray that you'd help me to rightly divide your word, and I pray that this message today would encourage us, help us in our walk with you. And Lord, I pray that it would be used in a way, if someone doesn't know you, that the Holy Spirit would work on hearts and draw them to you. And Lord, we just pray that you would just bless in a special way. Keep your heads around us. Keep us safe. Help the young people to be able to learn in their class today. And we ask that Jesus, in your precious name, amen. So as I was saying, in the book of Galatians, as a quick overview up to chapter 3 to verse verse 18, Paul was just explaining to them about the gospel. And you think about that gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Someone can be saved when they receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. No one has the right to change that gospel message. No one. And that's what Paul was saying in the book of Galatians. No one has that right. God is the one who gave us salvation. God is the one who's the author of it. God is the finisher of it. And because of that, that means no church has the authority to change it. Unfortunately, there are churches that are out there that are changing the gospel message and adding to what Christ says. You receive Christ through faith, and they're adding to it by adding works. And the Bible is very clear, that's wrong. Paul was saying in the book of Galatians that not only a church, but no angel, no person has that right or ability to do that, right? Because it's God's word. And then he's been talking in the last years ago that was recorded, in the scripture, the intent of the law. And that's what we're going to pick up now in verse 19 and 20. What we're going to see is he's explaining the true reason for the law, the true purpose of the law. Why did God give us a law? Why is it that God gave it to Moses and then the children of Israel had it? Why is it even today when a lot of times people refer to as the Ten Commandments? What was those? You know, it was more than just Ten Commandments, but there's Ten Commandments that were there. Why was that? Well, we can see here what he speaks of. He says, "Wherefore then serveth the law?" Why are you serving the law? Why are you doing that? He's telling us the true intent. It was added because of transgressions, right? He was added because of the wickedness of man. The wickedness of man. The reason God gave a law was ultimately, there was many reasons, but one was to point people to Jesus Christ. Was the other reason was show that you and I are guilty. It was to restrain or retain people, right? To get people to say, "Whoa, that's wrong. I need to make sure I'm not doing that," right? So anyway, there was a purpose for the law. What is it? Because we are sinners. Amen? Look what the Bible says over here to the book. I'll come back to Galatians. In the book of 1 Timothy. You find 1 Timothy as you keep on going to the right in your Bible. If you ever need help, you can look in the front of your Bible. There's concordance. Timothy, book of 1 Timothy. You'll find that in the New Testament. But if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the law was added because of transgressions. It means the wickedness of man. And look here at 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, look down here verse 8. "But ye know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man." You think about it, the law was not made for a righteous man, Why? Because if people were righteous, and that means people never sinned, you wouldn't have to have the, you think about the Ten Commandments that are there to tell you to always put God first, don't commit adultery, don't steal. You wouldn't need those laws that were there if everyone was righteous and no one sinned, right? And that's what he's saying here. He says, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers or fathers, murderers or mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for manslayers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Here it is. God is telling us the purpose of the law. He gave the law. Why? Because we're wicked sinners. Amen? And it's also to retain people to say, hey, this is wrong. Don't do it. Amen? Can I tell you, you think about it, especially in our society today. You know what we're seeing in our society today? We're seeing lawlessness. Amen? Lawlessness. And we're seeing people that try to justify lawlessness. Well, I'll tell you, there's some things that gets under my skin. And one of the things that gets under my skin is when you see that. What was it, a few years back, maybe, I don't know, I feel like time has flown by. It was about 4 or 5 years ago, there were riots that happened on the street. People would go out and they would bust glasses. They would go into stores and steal, you know, whatever pocketbooks or whatever it was. Yeah, you're going to have an Amber Alert, I think, that's coming on your phone that's there. But anyway, they would steal stuff and they would try to justify it, right? Trying to justify it. No, that was riots. We had riots that was in our land where people tried to justify breaking into a store and they were stealing things that was there. That was lawlessness. We see that in our society today. There's lawlessness that's happening. Well, the reality is, you think about it, there should be a law that's given. And thank the Lord in our society that we have laws. But unfortunately, people don't go by those laws anymore. But there's laws that are there to say, hey, you do this, there's a consequence. I don't know about you, but when I'm on the highway, I wish that they had the speed limit that would be a little bit better. Amen? I mean, right now, it's you go to, what is it, 65 at places, 70 at places. But when you travel down south, there's some places, I think it was 75. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. Amen? Where you can go 75 miles per hour. You know, it's okay to drive that. Amen? And some people know how to drive. Some people don't know how to drive. Amen? But anyway, there's reasons they have that speed limit that's there. And you and I may not like that, right? You may say, I want to drive 90. And maybe you are good, and maybe I'll date myself. Maybe you're like Richard Petty. You're pretty good at driving, and you're pretty fast, you know, that you can drive. But the reality is there's still a law. And if you're going 90 and get pulled over, it doesn't matter. You could tell them I am the best driver in the world. You're still going to get a ticket, right? There is a law that's given. Even though we may not like that law. But there's a law that's given from God. He gave it to help people. Thou shalt not kill. Aren't you glad there's a law that says thou shalt not kill? Someone may do something against you and you don't like it. And if you weren't saved, you had that sin nature. And you may say, you know what? John did something to me and I think it's only right and just that I'm going to kill him. Right? Aren't you glad there's a law that's there that says you do this, there's a consequence for your actions. God has gave us the law to, number one, show us that we're sinners. God has given us a law to point us that we are not righteous, that we need a Savior, which is the reason Jesus Christ came. But that's the objective of the law. The purpose of the law was to say, I am guilty. Just be honest with yourself. If you just take the Ten Commandments and looked at the Ten Commandments to go through those Ten Commandments, you know the truth of the matter is, every single one of us is guilty. Every single one of us. Have you ever put anything before God? We would all say that, right? There's been different times in our life. You have put something before God. Well, you have broke the commandments, right? Have you ever committed adultery? Hopefully not. But have you ever thought about it? Do you know this world that we live in? There's a $1 billion+ industry from pornography. Pornography. It's not actually doing it per se, but the reality is it's thinking about it. Billions and billions of dollars. Do you know those that do that? The Bible says that you're committing adultery. It's in you'll find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. Verse 27 and 28, I believe, that's there. So I have it in my brain, but I feel like if I start to quote it, I'll probably mess it up. Yep, I'm going to goof it up. But anyway, I know the verse is set. One of the verses, when I memorize verses, I'd use my hands. He says, "But I say unto you that if you look after a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery." So if you look and you're thinking that, the reality is it talks about you're committing adultery. So apologize, Lord, I missed it. What's that? Well, I was trying to memorize it, but I got some of it wrong, right? But anyway, here it is. You think about that, right? Killing someone. Hopefully no one is in here that has killed someone. If you can I tell you, God can still forgive you. Amen? God is in the savings business. But maybe in your heart you have hated someone. So mad at someone, they've done something, you hated them. Do you know that's killing in God's eyes? Folks, can I tell you, when we look at that law, the reality is this, what you'll see is, and what I'll see is, I'm guilty. I am a wicked old sinner. God has given a standard and says, here's what I believe is perfection, or this is perfection. And when I look at God's standard as the law, I look at it and say, guilty, 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 guilty. I mean, I'm guilty. So when you go back here to the book of Galatians, that's what Paul was trying to tell these churches, Galatians chapter 3. Because why? Because these churches were saying, hey, you got to keep the law. And Paul says, but you don't understand the true intent of the law. That law cannot save you. You're not a good person. I'm not a good person. If we have to keep our salvation, we're going to fail God every single time. And then look what he says here, going back to verse 19 and 20, he says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressors until the seed should come to whom the promise was made that it was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. Now the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." So here it is. He's going back to when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments that were there and the other laws. There were angels there that was witnessing that. Did you know that? There were angels there. You may say, "Preacher, how do you know?" Well, look what the Bible says here in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 7. There were angels there that was witnessing what was happening. Look here at Acts chapter 7. What are you doing there? I'm going to find another reference that's here. In Acts chapter 7, look what the Bible says here at verse 53. "Who have received the law by the disposition," that talks about there was an arraignment of angels, "and have not kept it." So the reality is there were other angels that were there. They were witnessing what God did. Do you think about those angels, not the fallen ones that are the demons now, they're fallen, the devil. Those angels, the reality is they could give a testimony. A testimony, they're a witness. Have you ever been a witness to something? Maybe something has happened and you're a witness. Now, there's a difference between someone that's a true witness as a first-hand witness, and then there's a witness that could be hearsay, right? Hearsay. Hearsay would be this. John told me that Chris did this. That's hearsay, right? I didn't see it, right? But the reality is, as a witness, someone that saw something to be, I witness what Chris did. When I lived in Hagerstown, Maryland, some parts of Hagerstown were okay. Some parts were really bad. And recently when we went down there, I was telling Ariana, I said, when you go to Hagerstown, there's some parts of Hagerstown you don't want to go through. And one of them is this street called Jonathan Street. It's a pretty rough street. And next thing you know, Ariana says, "Dad, you have me on Jonathan Street." You know, that was there. And I said, "Oh no, Ariana, what's going to happen?" I knew my way around, even though it's been years. Amen. But anyway, how did I get on that? a witness. So I was on Jonathan Street as I was, there was a stoplight that was there. There was a car that was in front of me, another car that was in front of me. So I was behind this car. And next thing you know, when the light turned green, the car goes straight. The Mustang that's behind the other car thought that car was going to turn, went to the side, went up and clipped that car. And after they clipped that car that was there, this young guy gets out of the car, and he was mad at the elderly person who was driving. I mean, he was just giving, I don't know, lady or man, one or the other, can't have anything else, but was giving this person a hard time. And then this young man came back to me and looked at me and said, "You saw what happened, did you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, I did." He said, "You saw they were in the wrong." I said, "No." I said, "You went up around that car and you hit him." And then he got a little mad at me, which was a good thing that the police came because I didn't want to hurt him. Amen. I'm just joking. But anyway, so as this police came there, they asked me a question. They said, "What happened?" And the other guy was trying to say something. I said, "Well, sir, I'll tell you exactly what happened because I saw it. They were right in front of me. And I was a witness to what happened," right? So I could testify. When I was one time, I had to sit on a grand jury, and as a grand jurist, I can never tell you the things that was said there because there's a law that's given that you can't say anything. And the reason being is because some things on a grand jury may not be presented, some things may be hearsay, some things they may never bring out and say. You know, grand jury, they can indict ham sandwich, as they would say. So just free note, if someone's indicted, doesn't mean they're guilty, right? So just always remember that. That's free for you. But anyway, there'd be things on a grand jury that you could hear. They would bring in witnesses. And they would bring in witnesses. The witness would testify and say, "This is what I saw," right? This is what, that was there. So as a witness, those angels are witness. You know what those angels are witness to? That God gave the law. They're a witness that ultimately Moses, the mediator, received it. And that what? That Moses delivered to the Israelites. You can't go before God and say, "Well, I don't know." But the reality is, there's witnesses, right? Folks, can I tell you, there's witnesses. When you think about God's word, when you stand before God and give an account of your life, the reality is this: there's witnesses to how you have lived. God knows, amen? God's recording everything, amen? The angels are aware of what you're doing. And matter of fact, you know who else is aware? You are, amen? I may not know what Mark is doing, but can I tell you, Mark is fully aware. Well, most times he's fully aware, right? But Mark is aware, but God, so is God. Folks, what I'm saying is you're not going to get out of that judgment. Amen? God is aware. So when he's talking about this mediator, he was trying to explain to them and saying, "Hey, yes, God gave the law. The intent of that law was the purpose to show you that you're guilty, I'm guilty. And matter of fact, there's witnesses that will say that you received it. And there's witness would testify and say what? You are guilty." So then when you go back to the book of Galatians, and look here at chapter 3, there's a point that Paul's trying to explain to them as you're going back to Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 21, he says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin, and that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So here it is, he's breaking down the law again. What he's saying, I want you to understand that law is not sin, right? You look at that law and say, "Well, that's wrong. It's not me." No, he's saying the law is not sin, right? The law was right. The law is saying God's standard that's there. And then he goes on and explains, it says, there is not a law that's given that could save you. Right? Do you see that? He says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Right? The purpose of the law wasn't to ultimately so that way you'd be saved. The purpose is to say, "Chris, you're guilty. Jenny, you're guilty. Doris, you're guilty. Because the reality is, there's no law out there that says, you know, that will forgive you. There's all those laws says, do this and here's the consequence. Do this, here's the consequence, right? So Paul is trying to explain to these churches that are there, because they had false teachers that are coming in and saying, hey, you got to keep the law to go to heaven. He said, but that was never the purpose. That the law just showed you that you're guilty. He says, matter of fact, look, there's no law that says, do this and thou shalt be saved, right? And what he was explaining to them is this. That law shows us that we're guilty and we are in a need of a Savior. He says, but the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. I feel like time is just flying by, you know? As you get older, it seems like time is going faster and faster and faster. But in my 50 years of life, I have only, to the best of my knowledge, ever ran across one person, who told me they have never sinned. In my 50 years of my life. One person, Diane. And I remember talking to that lady and talking to her, and I said, you know, have you ever did anything wrong? And she looks at me and she says, no. I said, you never did anything wrong? No. I said, ma'am, have you ever lied? No. I'm thinking, liar, you know? Have you ever did anything else? I didn't tell her that. That was in my thoughts. It's okay, right? I said, have you ever done this? No. Have you done this? No. And I start to go through, you know, Ten Commandments over there. She's like, no, 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 no. No. You know, it was like, wow, you know? And then I looked at her. I have to find the lady. I looked at her and I said, I got bad news for you. Jesus did not die for you. You could imagine her face when she heard that. Jesus did not die for you. I said, because he didn't come to die for the righteous, but for the sinner. Amen. You know, Jesus didn't die for you. Then, to my surprise, it was like the light bulb finally went off. And then she went, oh, and she put her hand over her mouth. And she looked at me and she said, I did sin once. I'm thinking, ma'am, you just sinned again. But I did sin once. And she told me, she said that she was committed adultery or fornication. I forget what it was she told me. You know what I told her? I said, ma'am, I said, if that was the case, and it's not the case, the Bible says in the book of James, if you fell at one point, you're guilty of them all. You're just as guilty as Hitler. You're just as guilty as Stalin. Sure saw her face when I told her that, you know, just what, you know? Well, the reality is that lady was not ready for salvation. Why? Because she didn't see herself as a wicked old sinner. You know, a lot of times you don't have to convince someone that they're a sinner. We already know it, right? Again, that law, the purpose of the law was to say, you can't save yourself. And that's why Jesus came to die for us. Amen? Jesus paid your sin debt. Jesus loved you enough. He's saying, hey, this is what I'm telling you is the standard. This is what I expect, not to go to heaven, but I'm telling you this is what you have to do to live a perfect life. It wasn't to save you, but to show that we're guilty. And the Bible tells us, if as you look here, at verse, I'll go back to verse 19. It says, wherefore serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, that it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, jump down here, verse 23. But when faith is come, we are kept under the law. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith that should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster. I could preach here about 8,000 hours, amen, but I won't for you today, amen. But so what Paul's saying, Paul is saying this, if you think about the true intent of the law that says that you're guilty, I'm guilty, it was there until that day that Jesus came, died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. It was their schoolmaster. A schoolmaster is a teacher, instructor, right? They're instructing us, they're helping us, right? And what the Bible's saying, the law was given to instruct us in saying this is what God believes. This is God's expectation for our life. Wasn't to save you, but was to point people to Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what he's saying. He's appoint people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I can't save myself. I can't save myself. Amen? When you're guilty of sin, the Bible says that there is a debt to be paid. Remember when in the garden, God told Adam and Eve they should not eat of that fruit? And whenever they ate of that fruit, they shall die? When they ate that fruit, they didn't die physically per se that day, because it was, I think Adam lived over 900 years old. But spiritually, they were separated from God. And the reality is this, there was a debt for them to pay of their sin. And that debt is eternal separation from God in hell, and then later be cast into a lake of fire. That's the debt to be paid. That's your wage. I like it when I remember one of my first jobs I ever got, I worked for Domino's. Most people may know Domino's. I don't think there's Domino's here. Maybe over Potsdam or something, they have Domino's. But I was like 14, 15 years old. And the lady that was the manager of Domino's, my sister and my brother worked there. They wanted to send out flyers because Domino's just started in the area that I was in. And they said, if you work for us, they would pay us. It was only like a weekend or something to put out flyers and try to invite people to, hey, get Domino's. That's when they had the avoid, the annoyed. Remember that? Yeah. So it was during those times. I was all excited, as you imagine. I was 14, 15 years old. I was going to get paid. But you know what was more important than the food? That was the food. They allowed me to make a pizza. Now, I didn't give it to others, right? But they allowed us to make our own pizza and put the toppings on it. They paid me more crisp pray for that pizza than what they paid me, because I loaded it on. But I was looking forward to that. That was my wage, right? And then I got that check in the mail. And good old Uncle Sam took a big part. I'm 14 years old, you know, and you had the taxes that come out. But that's what I earned. Wasn't much. Probably like $5 or something an hour, amen. So whatever it was. But you know the wages of your sin is eternal separation from God. You can't undo what you have already done. Sometimes that's what we try to do. We try to do reformation to change our life. I was there. I lived a very, very wicked life. I got out of college and I was like, I can't continue to live this way. So I turned over that leaf and started to live a life. Stop drinking, stop doing other stuff. But you know what it didn't do? I didn't fix the problem within my heart. And more that I tried to do what was right, the more and more I felt miserable. It's like, oh, you can't do this. And then I realized the light bulb went off. That's right, I can't. I'm guilty. And what was it? I realized when I looked at the Bible and I was going to church, I looked at the Bible and realized that's why Jesus came. He came to pay my sin debt. He came to pay it in full. He wanted to pay my debt. And that's what Paul was saying here. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you look here at Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Look what the Bible tells us here. He says in Hebrews 10, starting at verse 1. It says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Law can't save you. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered. But because the worshippers, once purged, should have no more conscience of sin, but in those sacrifices remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, when he cometh in the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Jesus came to be our sin debt. Look what the Bible says if you go down here, verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, to take away the first, they may establish the second. What was that first? The law, the guilty of it. that there's a sin debt. He came to pay my sin debt, to pay that sin. And look what he says here in verse 10. By the which will, his death, burial, and resurrection, him dying on the cross, being my substitute, by the which will, we are sanctified, means made holy, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Once for all. He paid a debt in full. He didn't pay for partial of my sins. He didn't pay for my sins up to that day that I accepted him. No, he paid for all of them once for all. And look, as we jump down here at verse, well, I'll just go to verse 11 and 12. And every priest standing daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. Those things of the law, their sacrifices could not forgive you. But this man, Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, look at this, forever, sat down the right hand of God. He sat down, why? Because it was finished. Look at this. From henceforth expecting his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. You know what I mean? You are completely forgiven in Christ. That's what he's saying. The law could not do that. The law said, whoa, I'm guilty. There's nothing I could do. And what was it? Jesus said, but I'll pay your debt. There's that song that, hopefully I don't scare you away when I try to sing it, dear. That talks about, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I'm not going to sing the rest of it because I'll get you all away. Amen. He called me to be a preacher, not a singer. Amen. But the gist of that song is this. I could not pay that debt because the only way I could pay it is I had to die as he did, but that sacrifice would not be accepted by God because I'm already tainted. Amen. He paid a debt he did not owe, and I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. That's what Jesus did. And that's what he's saying here. And what he's saying in the scripture, when you think about it, in the book of Galatians, is saying this, that when Jesus paid your sin debt in full, you are now forgiven. You are sanctified. The Bible says you are washed. You are justified. That you are no longer under that schoolmaster, which is under the law. What is that? The law of the penalty of sin. I have been set free. When Jesus said that on the cross as he was dying, he looked at him and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And here was, they persecute him. And as he was dying on the cross, one of the last things our Lord did is he looked at that thief and he accepted that thief because that thief placed his faith in Jesus Christ to save him. He says those words, it is finished. And your sin debt was paid in full. Amen. Folks, can I tell you, we have been forgiven. To go then back to the law, which could never save you, to go back to the law and try to make that law for something it was never intended, that's not wise to do, right? And that's what Paul was trying to tell these people. Now, Paul wasn't saying that you can go out and live any which way that you want to, right? You'll never find that in the Bible. God wants us to live a holy life. But salvation is paid in full. You've been forgiven. That's why as a Christian, the reality is this. As a Christian, I'm still not perfect. I know it's a good thing you guys are sitting down. You're probably surprised to hear that one, right? I'm not perfect. I'm joking, right? None of us are perfect. I accepted Christ over 23 years ago, I think it was. About 23 years ago. In those 23 years since I've been a Christian, I haven't been perfect. And if it relied on me for salvation, I would have lost it the first year, the first month, probably maybe the first day that I got saved. But he paid the debt. What Paul was trying to help this church in the book of Galatians was this. There were those that were trying to get them go back and say to do something that God said could never do to you. That law can't save you, but only in Christ. Let me ask you today, have you been forgiven? I mean, are you 100% sure if something would happen to you today that you are on your way to heaven? What are you trusting in to get to heaven? You know, there's some people that are trusting in their good works to get them to heaven. Do you know the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God. There'll be people that will, it says many, will come to him and say, Lord, didn't we do these things? They're wonderful things. What are they doing? They're trusting in their works. And he said, I never knew you. You find that in the book of Matthew chapter 7. I never knew you. Why is that? Because they were trusting in something other than Jesus Christ alone. When I was a little boy, 5 years old, I remember someone said, you just pray this prayer and go to heaven. And that's what I did, right? A prayer does not save you. Now, you may pray and ask the Lord to save you, but it's not the prayer. It's faith, trusting in him, right? And for the next, 18 years or probably more, about 20 years of my life, I would tell people that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. But if I'd have died, I would have went straight to hell. And if I'd have went to hell, that day I would have stood before God. I would have probably stood before him and been like those people and said, Lord, Lord. Because I knew that Jesus was the Savior. I knew that he was Lord. But the reality is, in my heart, I don't think I ever saw myself as a sinner. You know, someone said, pray this prayer, and that's what I did, right? You know, what do you expect? A five-year-old boy. If you don't pray this prayer, you're going to go to hell. Okay. They would have told me to jump out of the window for a candy bar. I would have done it too at a five-year-old. Probably would have done it as a teenager too. So maybe that's not a good... Yeah, I probably would have. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is, what are you trusting in? If you're trusting in anything that points back to yourself, then the reality is you're not going to go. But if you're truly 100% trusting in him as your sacrifice, that you believe that he paid your sin debt, was buried and rose again, and you're trusting only in our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a day where you accept him as your Savior, well, as Paul says, you're no longer under the schoolmaster, as in you're no longer under the penalty. You've been forgiven. Have you been forgiven? If so, praise the Lord, you are on your way to heaven. If not, can I tell you, you still have a wage that you owe. And others may forget about it, and you may forget about it. God is holy. He never will. You got to pay that debt. You have a choice. You can pay it, spend eternity in hell, or you can allow God pay it for you. The choice is yours. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that today that this message was a help and a blessing. I pray that it would draw us closer to you, remind us of what you have done for us. And Lord, help us not to be led astray by those that will teach a false doctrine from your word. Lord, I'm going to give you this time of invitation where people can respond to what they've heard. And I pray that people would. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.